You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not to cover a newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. But wouldn't it both ways? Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do is be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh, we forget what I gave up.
Yeah, her part's the best in the song. Here you go. One sip, two sips.
Going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Do you ever have the same dream repeatedly? I have like two dreams that I have all the time. One is just this, I don't know if it's in Iraq or Afghanistan, but everything is screwed up. Everything. Every single thing is screwed up. And I'm getting frustrated because you would think, because I've had this dream enough, that I would have it all straightened out by now. But I don't, and it pisses me off. Yeah, because I'm in a dream, and I think in the dream I'm thinking, I've had this dream before. This is how this goes. And I can't unscrew it. Yeah, and I can't remember. I don't even remember the other dream I have. Repeated dream, like that. Yeah, irritates me. On the upside, though, my dog Jack is awesome. I have two dogs, Jack and Joe. Names designed to be short, so when I'm pissed, you can spit them out, right?
Jack! Joe! Bam.
Anyway, Jack's a good dog, Joe's like the evil dog. Yeah, I don't even... the way I know Joe does something wrong, he has species identity crisis. Yeah, it's called sick. Species identification crisis. He thinks he's a beaver. Yes, yeah, he doesn't know that he's a dog. So he tries to eat everything. Everything. He tried to eat a record the other day. Got his ass paid for it. But my point about Joe is that Joe, and he knows that that's criminal behavior. But he, for whatever reason, he continues to do it. So I don't even wait to find out what he's done before I beat his ass. Because you can tell. Like, I walk around the corner, and he slinks down, he lowers his body to the ground, tail between his legs. I'm like, oh, really? Is it time already? Poosh. And then he feels better about himself. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, some point later on in the day, I'll find something. I'm like, oh, that's the criminal activity that you were unable to conceal from me and your own heart. Because you knew you did wrong. So, but Jack, I'll contrast that. Jack, get up in the morning. Jack normally gets, they normally get treats. Jack, poof, he comes out, stretch a little bit, get ready for the day after like a solid, for Jack, a solid 12 to 15 hours of sleep the day before. So he stretches out and then he goes, boom, sits right on the spot. And then he just watches me till he makes eye contact. And he looks at me like, yo, bro, how about we treat this thing up right now? I'm like, oh, sorry, Jack. So he gets his treat, right, gnaws on that for a few minutes. Now morning continues, and like today, if there is no food in the two dog bowls, he walks over, he sits by the dog bowl, and then he just looks at me. And he has this look like, really? This is how this is going to be today? Until I, like, look at him and, like, oh, yeah, sorry, man. So he eats. Then today, because it was raining last night, sliding doors shut in the morning. Normally open all day, so, you know, that he can he's free to come and go in the backyard, execute the plan of the day relative to hygiene out there. So the door's closed. So he just walks over, sits by the door, and he's kind of just over there sitting, looking at me, eye contact. I'm like, thanks, bro. Here you go. Door open, Jack on his way. Joe, he's not as well trained yet. Yeah. And I think it's part because instinctively he's a criminal and Jack instinctively is a good human being. So anyway, let me tell you what we're going to do today on the shoe. That's my Ed Sullivan impersonation. For those of you who know who Ed Sullivan is. Yeah, how pathetic is that? The Marine Corps, with an eye towards, I don't want to say turning the page, but pivoting to the Pacific. All right. With an eye towards pivoting to the Pacific. The Marine Corps undertook an initiative called Sea Dragon 2025. And that was to look at all the different technology that has presented itself, you know, written about by people, you know, small drones down, you know, to the fire team and squad level, tablets to be able to call in digitally fire support. So this initiative was designed to push that down there and to figure out what works, what doesn't work, how should we be configured as the Marine Corps points itself towards 2025 and a remake of the Marine Corps for future conflicts. So yeah, you're going to hear the company commander who was the prototype company for the prototype battalion. So the company did initial testing, the battalion, and then that stuff was refined. It was disseminated battalion-wide. The battalion then used that, and they deployed with it, and then to prove the concepts that were offered. So you're going to hear from Captain Joe Patterson and United States Marine Corps. And so former company commander just recently gave it up of Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, the Dark Horse as it's known. So you'll hear from him today and really interesting stuff. Some of the stuff you've heard Mike talk about in terms of procurement and requirements and, you know, how we communicate on the battlefield. You know, how many drones do you have at the platoon level? You have one that rides on the ground that you can send into some place to check things out. You have drones that fly in the platoon. How many of them? Who keeps track of all that? Right. Do you need extra bodies to keep track of it, for God's sakes? You know, and what about the other technology? How do you communicate? Does it work? Suppressors. You've heard Mike talk about suppressors on weapons. Is that a good deal or bad deal? And so you'll hear all of that today. And then how originally the company and then the battalion went about proofing those concepts. So you heard from Joe Patterson today. And then you'll hear Phil Bemis is going to come on. Phil is a first light armored reconnaissance, light armored infantry guy. And I'm not sure if he and I evidently crossed paths at some point because he says he knows me. I don't know him. At least I don't remember him. So Mike's good friends with him. So he's going to come on in the third hour with us and we're going to talk about the First Light Armored Infantry Association. First Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion Association. All right, they're a 501c3 organization and endeavoring to do good things. So Phil Beeman's going to join us this morning as well. So, busy morning here on All Marine Radio. We'll check news headlines coming up, but a very good morning to you. Hope you're having a good one. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. This is dedicated to my two dogs, Jack and Joe, for no other reason, but here it is.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Neller, we gotta win, baby. I love that. I understand that. We got to win. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story before I give you the temperatures. You know, you're trying to teach decision making, you know, and, you know, the way we teach it, we screw it up. And so it's a bit of a chore to get people just to relax and, you know, and think about it. So, you know, you give, in this case, lieutenants a scenario, you know, it could be NCOs and situation, blah, blah, blah. And by virtue of the way we teach, okay, which is very mediocre institutionally, I mean, core wide, you know, and people try their hardest. Some people just aren't as good at it as others. And so as a result, you know, when you do a sand table exercise, you know, you put your little guys out there and you put your hand up and it's your solution. And then, you know, then you put it out there and then everybody says, well, what if this? What if this? And pretty soon you're being overwhelmed and annihilated in a 360 degree attack on you that is just, you can't stop. What if this? 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 Well, that's not how the real world is, man. He's not everywhere. In fact, if you had to decide who you wanted to be, okay, you could be the Taliban guy in charge, or you could be the American lieutenant. Who would you rather be? Now, I've seen them both work, okay? I'd rather be the American guy, okay? You could be the NBA soldier or the American soldier. Which one would you want to be? I've read the NBA book, okay? I'd rather be the American guy, okay? So, anyhow, but we so screw them up mentally, it's ridiculous. So you look at them, and you give them this scenario, and you say, okay, you're going to be here doing this. And they look at you, and they begin, now when I come back, you're going to give me your estimate of the situation, which means you're going to have to look at it from his perspective, and you tell me what he's going to be doing out there. And then you say, okay, so that's my estimate, and then this is what I'm doing. Okay, here's my mission, and then this is how I've tasked my subordinate units out. Got it? Okay. So you come back, and it's some kind of crazy narrative. And you look at him and you say, okay, the enemy, and because that's how he's referred, the enemy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, stop. Who is the enemy, Lieutenant? Well, he's the North Vietnamese Army. No. Who is that? Who is it over there? Who is that? Well, sir, he's estimated to be what size? Platoon size? Maybe smaller. Okay. Platoon size, maybe smaller. Who's probably going to be in charge of that then? A lieutenant or, you know, maybe a staff sergeant or a sergeant? Okay. Yeah, that's good. Can you kick their ass? Could you kick that lieutenant's ass? Oh, hell yes, sir. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go kick that lieutenant's ass. Right? So, we don't, that whole we got to win thing, I understand that. And so, when you like, can you defeat the enemy? I don't know. Could you kick that lieutenant's ass? Hell yeah, I can do that. Hell yeah. You know, sergeant, can you kick that sergeant's ass? Yes, sir, I'd do that. I did that yesterday. All right, good. So it's really funny the way we educate, right? We brain screw people, and I clean that up for everybody because it's in the first hour of the program, and I'm not really prepared to use profanity yet. So, yeah, we like paralysis by analysis. The enemy. Hey, here's what I want to know, Corporal. Could you go over there and beat the shit out of another corporal? Yes, sir. I'll do that right now if you want me to. That's right. That's how that... So, anyway. Things I understand. We gotta win. That's why I'm telling you, you know, if you're gonna build your unit, look for kids, BC students, right? Who've been captains of sports teams somewhere in their life, and they make the best leaders. I'm not saying you can't get them from other, the cross-country crowd and the, you know, the rest of those crazy, but team players are used to competition. They're used to teams. They've grown up that way. They view the world through that prism, right? BC students that are, have a little bit of smart mouth means they've got some smarts in them, but they're not kiss asses. Normally good human beings, got in trouble a little bit. They've been to detention. One of the key questions to ask somebody in a job interview, right? Hey, Lieutenant, come on, come in here, sit down. Hey, Captain, come in here, sit down. So where'd you go to school? Oh, really? What'd you do in high school? I did this, this, and this. Ever go to detention? Well, no, sir, I didn't. Okay, all right, tell me about... Then you change the subject. Okay, he's never been to detention. First of all, if you've never been to detention in your life, you missed out, okay? The funniest kids in the school were in detention, okay? The 10, 15 minutes before the vice principal came into detention at Christian Brothers High School in Sacramento, California, was gut-splitting hilarious. Every funny jackass in the school was down there. Yeah. And, come on, it's like Def Jam comedy hour in there. And then Jack Whitry walks around the corner and ruins everything. Bow-legged, like 6'4", a little bit, you know, hunched over at the shoulder. And a clear look in his blue eyes, like he's going to beat everybody's ass. Whoop. Suck the life out of the room. Yeah, Mr. Napalm himself. And then, you know, then you did homework for whatever. Till you got outside with everybody, and then it was fun for a few more minutes. Till our parents picked us up. Till our parents picked us up from detention. And why are you in detention? Somebody else got me in trouble. Oh, really? Yeah. How did he do that? Well, he peeled an orange. Oh, no. The way this one happened. I peeled an orange. His wall locker was open, and our wall lockers were outside. And so we were talking, and he wasn't paying attention. So I put the oranges in his wall locker as we were talking. Then he went to shut his wall locker. He sees the orange peels, and he says, what the hell? And he throws them on the ground. Just as that happened, Brother Edward comes out of his classroom and walks right into us as John Slaughter is throwing orange peels on the ground. And Brother Edward, and I'm standing there, John Slaughter's standing there, who's a great guy, and Brother Edward looks at John, he says, pick those up, John, right now. And John says, brother, they're not mine. He said, John, you just threw them on the floor. He said, brother, they're not mine. And he said, John, pick them up. And he said, Brother Edward, who I swear to God was 75 years old at the time, he throws a big right. And John, to his ever-loving credit, you know, he just rope-a-doped, right? He puts both hands up by the sides of his temples. And Brother Edward, he's like emptying the clip on him. And he's talking the whole time. He's trash-talking him. John, I told you to pick those orange. And I'm sitting there watching this going, this shit is not going to work out well. Slaughter, why didn't you just pick it up? Now you're getting your ass beat, and I'm going to get in trouble. Sure as hell. 20 minutes later, the intercom comes out of my classroom. Mr. Kennedy, could you send Michael McNamara down to my office? Yeah, Jack Whitry in person. Yes, sir. And then the whole room looks at me. Grab my books. See you later, boys. But you know what? That was combat credibility right there. Like, I don't know what Mac did, but he's a baller. Otherwise, he would be getting called out in the middle of class to go see Jack Whitry. But I knew Jack Whitry. We were in the same parish. So I walk in, I sit down. I don't sit down right away. He looks at me, and he just shakes his head. And John Slaughter's sitting outside. And I walk in, I see him. I said, I'm sorry. He's like, wasn't your fault, man. I should have just picked him up. I said, what'd you say? He goes, I've got detention for a week. And I'm like, shit. So I'm scared, right? He calls me in his office, and he looks at me. He goes, what are you doing? I said, It was stupid. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. And he said, you're going to be in detention with Slaughter. You got him in trouble, so you and he are going to be in detention for a week. I said, yes, sir. And, you know, let me just tell you, in my life, one of my gifts, I knew when to get correct, boys. I did not argue. I could recognize power, and I knew when I was upside down. Yes, sir. And he looks at me and goes, don't do that again. He said, I know you didn't mean for all this to happen. And John, you did something stupid. John made a stupid mistake. If John picks him up and hands him to you, none of this happened. So he said, look, if I'm going to assign blame, what you did was stupid but harmless. What he did was stupid and harmful and disrespectful. So you'll both learn. Yes, sir. That's right. All right, we'll check the weather. Sunny and 41 degrees in Quantico, Virginia. The you know, that's why I got a problem with the verdict at camp at Parris Island. Not only dereliction of duties, but making false official statements, and he got a slap on the wrist. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's what. Like what? Look, when it blows up and you've done something wrong, you know, in the military, you took an oath. You took an oath. I'm not even going to do the weather today because the oath thing is has been on my brain for the last 24 hours. You took an oath. So if you made a mistake, tell the truth, take your punishment. Be a man. Be a woman. Man up. Woman up. Okay? You took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. So help me God. Okay? And so sometimes stuff happens. And when they come to do the investigation, right, the last thing you should be charged with as a leader in the Marine Corps is making a false official statement. You know, look, I've gotten in trouble in my life. Tell them the truth. Take your punishment. Man up. Yeah, I'm not one of those cherry boy officers that was afraid to get in trouble. Yeah. Hey, who said that rule doesn't apply to us? Oh, that was Major McNamara. Where is he? Where is his criminal ass? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's some people, there's the choir boys that are around the Marine Corps. Oh, my God. They've never done anything wrong in their lives. Nauseating to be around. Anyway, I'm not one of them either. Just for the record, nobody will get me. Nobody's invited me to that luncheon. So anyway, my thing about the oath, you look at the news, and it's like, does anybody earn it anymore? Yesterday, one of Silicon Valley's like stars. It was revealed by the SEC that they have defrauded investors, and the whole thing was a sham. What's the name of that company? It's the girl in the black turtlenecks, the blood clot company, and it was all bullshit. It was all bullshit. Hold on, I'll give you your name. Elizabeth Holmes. The company called Theranos. Yeah, I mean, and it's astounding, right? Holding up a few drops of blood, Elizabeth Holmes became a darling of Silicon Valley by promising that her company's new device would give everyday Americans unlimited control over their health with a single finger prick. Holmes, a Stanford University dropout who founded her company, Theranos, at the age of 19, captivated investors and the public with her invention, a technology cheaply done at a local drugstore that could detect a range of illnesses from diabetes to cancer. With that carefully crafted pitch, Holmes, whose striking stage presence in a uniform of black turtlenecks drew comparison to Steve Jobs, became an overnight celebrity featured on magazine covers and the richest woman and on the richest woman list and in glowing articles. Her fall and near collapse of Theranos has been equally dramatic in the last few years. On Wednesday, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, charged Holmes, now 34, with widespread fraud and accusing her of exaggerating, even lying about her technology while raising $700 million from investors. The company, whose valuation was once estimated at $9 billion, has skirted bankruptcy and is now barely afloat. Holmes was exceptionally secretive about the private company's finances and its intellectual property. In announcing the charges, the SEC said that Theranos and Holmes had agreed to a settlement, with Holmes agreeing to pay a $500,000 penalty. Holmes, who clung to her position as chief executive even after revelations about Theranos first surfaced 3 years ago, will be stripped of control of her company. She is barred from serving as an officer or director of any public company for 10 years. Okay. Then I take you to Oakland. The mayor of that city aids and abets felons. Okay. She took an oath, too. Then I'll take you to Denver. Okay. Those people took an oath, too. You have somebody who killed the driver of a semi-truck, who burned to death inside the cab. And those deputies, those sheriff's deputies, whoever was working there, they took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, to protect and serve. Okay, now let me take you to Washington, D.C., and a guy named McCabe, who's in the news again. Now, let me tell you what the FBI, right, Andrew McCabe, he's supposed to retire on Sunday, okay, took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So he is charged with putting his hand on the scale of justice. He's the guy who, when the allegations of emails on Hillary Clinton's server the second time, didn't investigate it for a month, right, before the election. He's the guy whose wife was on, took $700,000 to $1 million from the Democrats and continued to work on these politically charged cases. Okay? He's the guy that authorized leaks and then evidently lied about it. All right, so he took an oath, and this stuff goes on and on. So again, here's what's really interesting: Attorney General Jeff Sessions is reviewing a recommendation to fire former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe just days before he's scheduled to retire on Sunday. People briefed on the matter said, Mr. McCabe was a frequent target of attack from President Trump, who taunted him both publicly and privately. All right, here's what McCabe did. Mr. McCabe is ensnared in an internal review that includes an examination of his decision in 2016 to allow FBI officials to speak with reporters about an investigation into the Clinton Foundation. The Justice Department's Inspector General, whose report is supposed to be coming out but hasn't come out yet, all right, concluded that Mr. McCabe was not forthcoming during the review. So that's a polite way of saying he lied about it. You take an oath, right? That's supposed to be serious, right? So I don't know this McCabe guy, but in my opinion, he's shit. According to people briefed on the matter, that yet-to-be-released report triggered an FBI disciplinary process that recommended his firing, leaving Mr. Sessions to either accept or reverse that decision. Right. Now, Sessions is faced with, will this look like? Look, when your internal process, right, people that look at these things recommend that this guy be fired, right, then put it, right, hook him up to Cat 1, that's Catapult 1 on your aircraft carrier, and launch his ass. Don't let him retire. Lack of candor is a fireable offense. But like so much at the FBI, Mr. McCabe's fate is so entangled in presidential politics and the special counsel investigation. He was involved from the beginning in the investigation into the Trump campaign's ties to Mr. Look, do you think the people that do this internally for the FBI that are professional FBI agents, do you think that they haven't weighed through all that and looked at his conduct and said, okay, what would normally be expected of an FBI agent in this situation? Somebody who takes that oath. And so now what you get is this, not Fox News versus CNN version of it, okay? This is from the professional people that do this for a living. They say, fire him. But you know what? World's too hard, right? McCabe, I will draw a parallel between the battalion commander at Parris Island and Andrew McCabe. Were they young enlisted members of the FBI and the Marine Corps? They would have got the shit hammered out of them. But when you're a higher form of life in the organization, for whatever reason, and I don't understand them, right, you get treated with kid gloves. You could do the exact same shit, but, you know, there's all these mitigating reasons to understand why McCabe did what he did. Let me just tell you, take the recommendation of his peers, of people that do this. This is not the only case they review this year. They do this all the time. And I'm sure they didn't go in with an axe to grind against McCabe. It's a joke. It's a joke. The Trump administration, so it's breaking news, the Associated Press reporting, the Trump administration is accusing Russia of ongoing deliberate operation to penetrate U.S. energy grid. At what point do these attacks in other forms, this irregular war, on our electoral process, on our grid. You know, what the hell? I mean, look what they just did. They just used a nerve agent to attempt to kill two citizens, or three Russian citizens that were living in England, spreading that nerve agent in two communities. At some point, somebody needs to punk Vladimir Putin. Remember, his economy is the size of Canada. Also, the Associated Press reporting that the United States imposes sanctions on 19 Russians for alleged interference in the American election, including 13 indicted by Mueller. So, breaking news right now. Got that going for you. But this concept of when you put your hand up, you know, I hope the mayor of Oakland is indicted. I hope, because if you heard some of the people that were on that list that are felons convicted of human smuggling, I mean, read about that kind of crap. They're profiting from those businesses. Human trafficking. They're disgusting. And then once you get to the United States, you owe them, you know, however much money. And trust me, they'll come collect. And much like it happens in Afghanistan or Iraq, if you don't pay them, guess who gets a tip? ICE on your location. Yeah, it's this game that gets played. And so she absolutely ought to be charged under federal law for obstruction of justice. And putting their lives at risk, those ICE agents could go to a jail and pick these guys up when the county's done with them. But now they got to go into the community armed to go find the same person because they won't cooperate? What is that shit? I don't know. It's just, we used to be a nation of laws, and every day you see this shit. And McCabe, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that McCabe brought his partisan feelings to work at the FBI. And when your peers, and again, the internal FBI investigation that recommended this, you know, when your peers say that you ought to be fired, that's pretty damning. Okay? In their report, they did not say, there's a caveat. He has served honorably, was thrown into a very, very difficult situation, and did his job well. However, blah, blah, blah. There was no caveat like that. They said he ought to be fired. Career FBI people said that, who do this every day. It's their job. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what Jeff Sessions does. We'll see what Jeff Sessions does. So, as I watch the news on a daily basis, you know, this, you know, it's just, it's all, you know, it seems like there's fraud everywhere, you know, and this Theranos thing, she just lied her ass off. Can you imagine $700 billion saying that the company at one point was valued at $9 billion? And evidently some of this came to light when she made comments that their products were being used in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the DOD said, no, they're not. Yeah. No, they're not. What? So it just seems like, you know, that the oath doesn't mean what it used to be anymore, that you're not really a public servant. This is how I make my money. But I don't, come on, I mean, what am I, a Boy Scout? You know, what am I? That when push comes to shove, I'm not afraid to put my hand on the scale of justice. Ah, that oath thing, pff, whatever. And I honestly, I look at it and it's like, was it always like this and I just didn't know it? The blatant disregard for laws? So, I don't know. We'll take a quick break as I get off my rant about oaths and more of Allman Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimplifyFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? We can't go on together with suspicious eyes.
The man, Elvis. Email, Mac, you need to relax, man. Now, the other thing irritates me, okay? It does. It pisses me off. But you know, and I was talking to Colleen after I picked her up the other day. I vented on her yesterday. Anybody ever earn anything anymore? Just roll up your sleeves and earn it? It just doesn't seem like that anymore. All right, you're gonna hear Joe Patterson here in a few minutes. Let me peruse headlines right now. MARSOC's got to have their budget increased because they're short people. I hate that, man. Get your act together, MARSOC. Come looking for more people all the time? What the hell? Thoughts and prayers out to two families. Navy jet crashed off Key West yesterday as it was on an approach to land. So more as it becomes available, we'll get our F-18 guys on and talk about that. There's an interesting article that I would recommend to you, though, in Marine Corps Times, and that is it's built on the original article with amplifying information. Judge cites widespread failure of leadership at Parris Island officer sentencing. Okay, so I already said the battalion commander gets off light in all of this. He was already under investigation for let me back it up. I had a conversation with a guy who's been a company commander down at one of our recruit depots. Okay, who commands who commands battalions at the recruit depots? Yeah, it's normally reserved for those who don't command other places. Okay, so who are these people? Lawyers? What? They don't have experience. And who is Lieutenant Colonel? We'll just pick on him. You know, lawyers, administrators. So when you ask the question, why do these crazy things happen? It's because you put people in there that don't live in a world of command. And I'm looking, I'm looking for his background, and I'm not finding him. Anyway, but part of the problem, you put people that don't have a background in command in charge, and they may be good administrators. That doesn't make them good commanders, you know. But you know they've done well, and so we're gonna let them be battalion commanders. Keep our fingers crossed, and that's exactly what happens. You better keep your fingers crossed, because you're going to, and go buy a rabbit's foot, too. So, anyway, but it's an interesting article, and I was talking to my friend, and I said, where the hell is the company commander in all of this? And the enlisted leaders, they slide out the door. Sorry, we didn't have anything to do with this. Yeah, I know, we've been here, this is my third or fourth tour, but I'm out. Stage left, all the enlisted guys, they're not held accountable. Yeah, when the regimental sergeant major got relieved, that was like, holy shit, man. An enlisted guy paid? Yeah, you might want to relieve them as a matter of course, just so they know they have skin in the game and they better perform. Right? They better perform. Well, he's not really the commander. Yeah, but he knows what's going on. And if he doesn't, he should. So what does he do? He brings it to the attention of the commander. Hey, sir, 3rd Battalion, Felix, Gunny Felix, he's still working. I was out today walking, and he was out with his Marines. What? Snatched up, phone up. You know, get that battalion commander's ass on the phone if I was a regimental commander. What did I tell you? Did that mean do what you want? I said remove his ass. Okay? And I'm going to give you 30 minutes to get that done before I come walk into your office. Blam! Yeah. But because everybody slides out of it, nobody really gets too much in trouble. What message got sent? Hey, we'll understand. Everybody's got an excuse. And what about the company commander? Did he not get told? Is his head so far up his ass that he doesn't know what's going on? So that's why you got to lay the wood to people. You got a message send. And I don't know the individuals involved, and it's unfortunate, but somebody's dead. When somebody gets dead, right, and they put the white-hot spotlight over it, you better be able to stand up and say, this is what I did. And I did the right thing because I took an oath. And these recruits come to us, and they're essentially helpless. And I take that seriously. So anyway, I would recommend that article to you. And beyond that, nothing else in Marine Corps Times that I would recommend to you today. In terms of the early bird, top five stories, very quickly, Joe Patterson, stand by. Number one. Fortress Sweden, inside the plan to mobilize Swedish society against Russia. Yeah. Roughly 220 miles of ocean separates Sweden from the heavily militarized Russian port of Kaliningrad. The long country's narrow shape leaves it vulnerable to air assault from multiple sides, and Sweden, along with neighboring Finland, are in a unique position as the only non-NATO aligned nations in the Baltic Sea. That's right. Russia. Putin's an idiot. All right. Punk his dumbass. All right. Remember, his economy is smaller than Canada's. All right. And he runs around like he's Mr. Big Shot. Trump touting Space Force puts Air Force in an awkward spot. Air Force. Hey, we own space. No, you don't. We're going to have a Space Corps. President Trump visits the Marine Corps and veterans everywhere. Palm face. Anyway, somebody in the speech, right, I guess, Rode Core, C-O-R-E, all right? And then he puts it in a tweet. Are you kidding me? Anyway, so, hey, he's trying. He's trying. All right. Nobody cares. Except the people who hate him. Afghanistan is not a forever war. Its ambassador tells Task and Purpose. So you'll find that story in Task and Purpose. Any more Marine Corps stories? No. And then my other favorite is, as everybody knows, Stars and Stripes. And we'll check that real quick and then get on to Joe Patterson here as he tells us about Sea Dragon 2025. Two aviators dead after Navy jet crashes in Key West. Both ejected and were recovered, but both were killed in the process of ejecting. Another story that I haven't seen another place. Again, the benefit of Stars and Stripes. Trump hints he may withdraw troops from South Korea over trade issues, report says. A report quoted President Trump saying Wednesday in a fundraising speech that the United States was losing money on trade with South Korea as well as the military presence that is meant as protection against aggression to the North. Do you think it's wrong that he ties trade with our military outlay to guarantee your freedom, Japan, Korea? Do you think he ties that? That, hey, we'd like to be treated fairly in trade since we're guaranteeing your freedom? Is that wrong? Let me scratch my head. I'm figuratively scratching my head on the radio. Another story. U.S. Nigerian troops kill 11 ISIS militants in a previously undisclosed mission in AFRICOM. Let me just check the story out real quick. U.S. forces and partner troops killed 11 Islamic State militants in Niger during a firefight that occurred 2 months after a deadly ambush. Holy shit. U.S. Africa Command confirmed on Thursday, that would be today, that U.S. troops and Niger government forces were on a December 6 mission in the country's Lake Chad Basin region when they came under fire from a formation of violent extremists. The purpose of the mission was to set the conditions for future partner-led operations against violent extremist organizations in the region and based on current available information, we assess this attack was launched by ISIS West Africa, AFRICOM spokesman Samantha Rio said in a statement. No U.S. or Nigerian forces were killed or injured in the attack, which included the deaths of two enemy fighters who wore suicide vests. A weapons cache also was destroyed during the mission. The fight came to light after the New York Times recently obtained a government document that made a vague reference to the attack and the need for U.S. troops to defend themselves. Why is that a secret? AFRICOM going to get a little bit more attention these days. All right. We're going to take about a 60-second break. When we come back, Joe Patterson, Captain Tide, United States Marine Corps, former company commander of Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, joins us. We're talking about Sea Dragon 2025, which is the initiative to shove technology down to the squad level. So you heard from that. More of that. Don't touch the dial. More of Auburn Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.